Good evening and welcome to today's program of the Commonwealth Club of California. I'm John Milford, Chair of the Club's Grown-Ups Forum and your host for today. We also welcome our listening audience and we invite everyone to visit us online at commonwealthclub.org. And now it's my pleasure to introduce our distinguished speaker, Mary Eileen Williams. Mary Eileen Williams has 20 years of combined experience as a job search specialist, outplacement consultant, career and life transition counselor, university instructor, and author. As a nationally board-certified career counselor with a master's degree in career development, she specializes in working with midlife job seekers in transition, teaching them the latest techniques for landing a job in the 21st century. Over her career, Mary Ellen has worked with thousands of mature applicants and knows the most effective methods for overcoming special challenges they face. She makes frequent appearances as a guest expert on both radio and TV and writes a job search column for the Huffington Post at huff/post50. Mary Eileen is also the host and founder of the popular blog and radio show Feisty Side of 50. At feistysideof50.com. So let's welcome Mary Eileen Williams.
Okay, perfect. Thank you so much. I have to say, this is my first time presenting at the Commonwealth Club. I am thrilled to be here, and especially with my people, the grown-ups. That's wonderful. And as you can see, there's my smiling face, which is really smiling, and that big flag, the Feisty Side of 50 up there. Just a little bit about my blog and radio show, and then I want to get right into the job search things. But there is, in the handouts that I gave you, a sheet at the back where you can find me if you're interested. And I've been quite fortunate to interview a number of well-known people. I've interviewed Florence Henderson a couple of times, the Brady Bunch mom. I've interviewed Senator Adlai Stevenson III, the son of the guy who ran for president, Peter Buffett, Warren's son, and a few other people. So I do have 15-minute podcasts. They're absolutely free. I invite you to join us. The website is actually mainly for baby boomer women, but we do invite gentlemen callers as well. So please come by. Well, let's get right into the job search aspect, though, and talk a little bit about what we're going to be discussing today. I will say one thing. I do tend to make my workshops interactive usually, so I know it's a little bit more difficult since we're recording, but I am going to ask you some questions in between my points, and so I guess I'll be grabbing that microphone over there and doing things. So please do speak up. I really feel that the more interactive and information we can exchange, the better the workshop's going to be for everybody. But tonight, I'm going to move over here. One thing I think is really critical to start right off with, because we are the grown-ups forum and are grown-ups in here, we do want to discuss ageism. Is it real for you out there? Is it a myth? I kind of think there's actually aspects of both. But what can you do about it? What are some ways you can address the ageism factor that's out there in the job market of today? Then there's actually ways that you can turn your age into your advantage. I think that we have spent a number of years on this planet. We've learned a lot of things, and I really hope that you will come away from this feeling that not only was your hour well spent here, but that you have a sense that, yes, you can come from a position of strength. Rather than feeling apologetic about your years of experience, let's flip it around and show some of the highlights and the strengths that we as job seekers of maturity bring to the job market. So talk a little bit about that. The bright and bountiful boomer future has not been so bright or bountiful as of late, but there are some reasons that I do put this up there. And I do also, again, want to stress that I will be coming at things from a positive perspective. However, I do not want to discount anyone's experience. I know it can be tough out there. I know it can be discouraging, and I do tend to be a bit on the enthusiastic side. However, I really can empathize with some of the issues that you may be going through. However, as I said, down here is the term attitude. I do think we have to keep as positive as possible. But once we get through these general parts of us, we're going to go from the collective, the boomer collective, into the more individual aspects of how you as an individual can create ways that you can present yourself effectively, have the skills in order to address the market successfully today, navigate some of these areas that we may not have realized before, and all of that. And I do want to say one thing, too. I'm talking fast here because this workshop generally runs an hour and a half, so I might go really fast towards the end. But I do have a book that John had mentioned earlier. And what I did is during my outplacement experience the last several years, I noticed that people that were getting outplacement, which is a free help to people looking for work, they were coming in feeling discouraged and disheartened. And I thought, my gosh, if people that are getting free help are feeling that way, what about the millions of other boomers that might need some help in again, focusing their job search in a more successful way with today's market? So that's what my book is about. It's actually a book, workbook. It's an outplacement manual of sorts. So I did just want to let you know that. But we will try to cover as much as we can this evening. So let's begin with ageism, which I think all of you, if I were to ask you, what do you consider to be the biggest roadblock in your job search, today, I would assume that many of you, maybe even 85-90% of you, would raise your hands and say, it's probably my age that may be holding me back. But I do this every workshop, and so I'm going to do this here too. I am going to ask you for a real-world example. How many of you personally feel that you have personally been the victim of ageism? Okay, I'm looking around the room, and it looks to be about a third of you are raising your hands. And I will tell you, that happens. That's a pretty common figure. When I do workshops, actually, I know you may not believe it, but sometimes nobody raises their hands. That's really the truth. But generally, it's somewhere between a quarter of to a third of the people in the room will raise their hands. And to me, again, I'm not the Pew Research Center. I'm not, this is not a scientific poll. But to me, what that says is it's very likely that certainly ageism is out there, but it may not be as all pervasive as we've been led to believe. Because I believe that, yes, it is real, but there are some mythological properties to it, too. So let's start out, though, and John, do you have the, you have the mic. Oh, thank you. What are some of, I call them stereotypes that sting, but what in your experience are some of the things that you believe younger employers are holding against us, people of a certain maturity? Then thank you.
I think employers have some ideas about younger people that aren't always true. Maybe that they'd learn faster, that they'd feel better about paying them less, although for the same job, even a very experienced person often would get the same salary, which isn't really fair, but that happens. And that maybe they'd be more technologically savvy, and there's a lot of technology now.
Okay.
However, a lot of these things aren't always true. And there was even a newspaper article just in the last few days giving all the positive points of, with experience.
Wow, I didn't catch that myself. I would have loved to have seen it. I think you hit on several great points, and I want to get to you too. Actually, technology. Okay. That I do believe they have a whole lot of things. We might be too expensive. We're stuck in our ways. All these kinds of things. And I want to bring up some of these. But I think technology is the absolutely number one stereotype that we do not have the technical chops for the job. Now, there is absolutely no way around this. You have to have the technical skills for the job. If you are in IT or something like that, you're aware that, that's an obvious point. But for most of us who are not in IT, again, we want to make sure that our technical skills are up to date and appropriate. And I have some good news for you, because now there are several low-fee and free websites out there that are going to allow you to take classes, understand how to, brush up on your skill sets, and make sure that you are tech-savvy enough to be able to compete. Number one I want to tell you about is lynda.com, L-Y-N-D-A.com. As I said, one of the websites is lynda.com, and lynda.com, for $25 a month, you get unlimited access to over 2,000 tutorials, and they range specifically technology, and a lot of them are also about the creative aspects of technology. So in other words, you'd be getting workshops on web design and those kinds of things too, which I think $25 a month, I know money is an issue when you're looking for work, but I think that seems pretty reasonable. There's another website, and it says it in the name. It is absolutely free, and this is called GCFLearnFree.org, and that's G like George, C like Cat, F like Frank, LearnFree.org. They offer 750 tutorials, and they range everything from skills in technology to certain math classes. One of these days I'm taking the math skills. And also, if English is a second language for you, they have information for that as well. So lots of great things. You might want to check them out first because they're totally free, as I said. Another thing I would suggest doing is, and it's a big, long URL, so I'm not going to tell you that, but go to Google and just put in Microsoft Office, because you know how many of the, you know, things, applications you're going to be using that will be using Microsoft Office, and they have tutorials online. It'll connect you to their Microsoft Office tutorials that are absolutely free so that you can stay up to date in the latest in Microsoft Office. And the last one I want to tell you about is openculture.com. Openculture.com boasts the largest collections of free websites that are either educational websites or cultural websites on the web. So there's a whole range of ways that you can educate yourself. And what you want to do is, because technology is such a major stereotype that we need to overcome, you want to make sure that while you are networking and in an interview, you are proactively stating ways, oh, yes, I just recently updated my skill set, or, oh, yes, I just recently took a course. Or if it's true for you, many times younger employees or people, I was the go-to person for this skill in technology. Many times younger people would come, or younger coworkers would come up to me and ask me to help them with their skill set. Anything you can do, this is something you need to be proactive about doing, because, again, it's one of those stereotypes that they may be, younger employers may be holding in the back of their heads. They won't say it. So you need to be able to be proactive so they understand, yes, you have kept up to date technology-wise, too. I realize I'm bouncing around here, but I do want to say one more thing about the technology piece. On your resume, again, I'm bouncing around a bit, but on your resume, I suggest having a special section. Underneath your regular education, you want to put a special section, and I would call it this: ongoing professional development. Ongoing professional development. And what you do there is you put down classes that you've taken, you put down some of these courses that you've taken online and otherwise. Make sure that you are alerting anybody who is going to be reviewing that resume or, you know, interviewing you and refer to that resume. Yes, I care about keeping my skill sets current. I believe in lifelong learning. Employers like that. So we could go on and on about the stereotypes. That's the major one for me. Oh, you had a question, the lady in the red, or a comment.
I'm sorry. I was just going to ask you, what was your brief description of what openculture.com is again?
It is the largest collection on the Internet links to free websites that deal with education or cultural topics. So those are some of the things, too. Couple things, also stereotype, is that they believe, younger employers think that mommy and daddy won't be wanting to report to them. I think you need to be proactive with this, too. So if you do get into an interview situation and you do realize that you're interviewing with someone much younger, you might come up in a way, if it feels comfortable for you, and words that are helpful for you, I mean, in your own words, say something like, I just want to assure you that I thrive in environments with working with people of all ages. I've worked for younger bosses many times in the past. It has never been an issue. Now, the younger boss you may have worked for could have been 3 weeks. weeks younger than you. You don't need to get specific, but allow them to, you know, I learn from people of all ages so that, again, so that you are not coming up against that stereotype that they may be holding against you that will make sure that they would not hire you for that job. So some of these things I think we have to address proactively and head on. Again, in the interest of time, there are certainly a ton of stereotypes out there, but I think these are the couple of the major ones that you may face. So as I said, as proactively as possible, you want to address these. Real quickly, because I know we're not going to ask questions to... Oh, yeah, absolutely. Facebook, LinkedIn is critical. We could do a whole workshop on LinkedIn sometime and ways that we could do that. But again, I have that information in the book if you're interested in getting that later. However, we've talked about the stereotypes. I also believe that there are mythological properties to this thing on ageism. And as I said, we've taken this poll that about a third of you raised your hand. It is not as all pervasive as we've been led to believe, I think. So who tells us that we'll never find a job once you're over 50? Media. Bingo. Does the media spin good news or does the media spin bad news? Absolutely. That's reason number one, I think it's a myth. Reason number two is the media uses statistics. By definition, statistics are generalities. Statistics do not relate to how many hours a week you put into your job search, who you know in your personal network that might be able to help you out, how many openings there are in your line of work close to you, a whole myriad of aspects that are personal in nature cannot necessarily reflect your own experience. So please realize that about the media. Number three reason I think that it might be considered there are mythological properties to this ageism factor is in these statistics that the media is lumping together, they are putting in boomers who have been in jobs 25, 30 years many times and who do not know some of these different skills like being on Facebook or being on LinkedIn, some of the ways that they can present themselves far more effectively. It's generally, a lot of the job search aspects are really pretty standard, but there are new twists and turns that you need to know. So they're lumping those people into the statistics as well. Reason number four is I think in certain regards, being an older job seeker and, you know, the bleak aspects is a bit of an outdated paradigm or an outdated model. And the reason that I say this, and I'm going to ask again for somebody to shout out, I'm really putting you through the the ringer there. Sorry about that. But anybody have any idea of how many people in today's workforce are 50 and older? Okay, you get to stay in your seat. You're like, it's about a third, about 33%. So we are no longer an anomaly. Boomers are, we are the largest population segment ever. We have changed so many things, and I'm going to get into that in a minute. So we are not necessarily, again, the same, going through the same experience that our parents might have had. So that's it. That's number four. Reason number five, and I can't necessarily do this, verbally, I'm going to do this, show you. If you buy into the fact that no one wants you out there, that you can no longer contribute, that you're no longer of value out there in the workforce, you're going to be going about your job search. You need to show confidence, energy, and enthusiasm. You need to. So just don't read any of these articles would be my suggestion, or read the article that you talked about where it does talk about some of the positive aspects of age. And as I said, I don't want to discount how hard it is, but I do think if you leave with nothing else, please leave with the idea that, yeah, there are opportunities out there and, you know, your skills and experience can be valued. So, how to handle a reluctant buyer. What should you do if you're in the interview process and you believe that someone in that hiring team doesn't want you? Well, I wouldn't necessarily get up and walk out in the middle of the interview. I don't think that would be too good an idea. But what I would suggest doing is move on. Even if they hired you in that organization, they are not going to say, oh, let's give the old guy the plum assignment, or let's give the old lady the good training opportunities. You are going to be in a situation that you are not going to feel good about contributing or feel that you fit necessarily. So I would suggest, rather than banging your head against that particular wall, just kind of move on and shift your focus. And you were saying earlier before, when one door closes, look for the next one that's going to open. And I do believe there's a lot of truth to that, especially in a job search. But more bang for your buck, we want to focus your sales efforts, and I'm going to refer to my notes here, because again, the internet is on our side, believe it or not, and I'm going to give you some websites that are springing up. The boomer generation, societies could cater to us for a long time. There are some great websites that I think you're going to find very helpful for your job search. The first one is workforce50.com. And that's workforce50.com. They have great articles, great job search suggestions, and they also have links now to specific companies that are age-friendly companies. So I would definitely spend a little time checking out workforce50.com. Another one, and I know you've had speakers here, John, that have worked for them, Encore.org. Does everybody know what Encore.org is? It's an organization here based in San Francisco, and what they do, their focus is they don't necessarily find you jobs, but they do have links to websites that it can be helpful. But their whole idea is, you know, the aspects of the boomer, we were going to change the world back in the 60s and 70s, and we just kind of did maybe, but this kind of ties into that. We want to make the world a better place. So they help people of maturity find jobs in, and I want of a better word, socially responsible organizations. So things like nonprofits, healthcare, education, green industry, things like that. So if that's an interest, or if you want to give back to society in some way, I would definitely spend some time checking out Encore.org. Encore.org. And then another one, I would assume, I won't ask because I won't have, you know, I will just go ahead, but I would assume many of you are using either Indeed.com or SimplyHired.com. You're nodding in the back, so can you just shout out, do you use Indeed or Simply Hired? Either one. One of the things about those two websites, Indeed and Simply Hired, are they are what are called aggregate websites. So in other words, and in my highly technical terms here, their little spiders crawl all over the webs, and they will be sending you leads to jobs in various categories from all over the place. So they're very valuable. But to me, Simply Hired has a little bit of a heads up, because Simply Hired has a sign or a postings for workers or applicants 50 and older specifically. And it's called Simply Hired, and that's H-I-R-E-D, Simply Hired 50 plus, 50 with a plus sign, .com. And I definitely would check out going to Simply Hired 50plus.com. You put a little check mark there, and it says, I want listings from age-friendly companies. And then finally, and I do want to move on again because of the time, but finally, one of the best websites out there is something that's new. It's with AARP and LinkedIn, and it is, you're nodding over there. it used to be called Work Reimagined, but now it's called Life Reimagined by Work or something. But go to AARP and type in Work Reimagined. What AARP has done with their major clout is they have certain organizations sign on the dotted line that, yes, they are an age-friendly company, and these companies are hiring right now. So definitely check those out, too. So staying motivated during the tough times, again, I usually throw it out to get some interaction here because I think it's important, but I do want to give you a couple of tips that I think are especially helpful for staying motivated. Remember that you need to project energy, enthusiasm, and confidence. So one of the best ways to do that is to make sure you are meeting your physical needs. You need to make sure that you're getting adequate sleep, you're exercise, great stress release and all of that, and eating right. So make sure that your physical needs are being met. That's really important. Another thing is, I think as frequently as possible, you want to take a class. Now, I had told you about, doing the online training, and I think that's important, and that special section on your resume. But I would also get out and do something like you're doing this evening. Get out or take a class at your local community center or adult ed and your line of work. And the reason I suggest that is you will not only get the skills that you can put on your resume, but what you can do is network with your fellow classmates. They're all in your line of work, likely, or about to transition into that. But best of all is you network with the instructor. I tend to hang out with other career counselors. People tend to hang out like that. So on a break or after class or something, go up, ask the instructor an open-ended question. I'm looking for positions in X. Do you have any suggestions for me? Now, people who do workshops, people who teach, they love to give advice, I will tell you. So this is a great way to not only get valuable information, but you might get contacts. You don't know where that could lead you. So that's one thing. Then another thing, staying motivated, I think is really critical, is being organized. Even if you are not a list maker, I would think it's very helpful to make a weekly goals list and even maybe daily goals list. And the reason that I suggest doing that is because you have to know, keep track of the correspondence that has gone back and forth between companies, whom you sent resumes to, who's responded to you, who you need to get back with in your network. Like, oh, I want to talk to so-and-so, but they're gone for a week. You got to call them back on Wednesday or something. All these various things are important. But one of the things, too, that I think is critical is when you are doing a job search, and I know you know this, you're expending all sorts of energy out there, and it's taking a while oftentimes for something to come back. But if you can physically check something off your list, that can make you feel good as well. It can give you some sense that, yes, I am moving forward. But the other thing, too, again, is that organization. And I have one other website for you I think is very helpful. It's called JibberJobber.com. Like that old jibber jabber thing, but this is Jibber Jobber. JibberJobber.com. They have a free version, and I definitely would recommend checking it out because it can help you stay organized and help you in a whole lot of tools for your job search. So, it helps you organize your job search. Yeah. Yeah. Now I want to move on to something that I think is really important, and that is the fact that actually, rather than, again, feeling bad about our years or feeling bad about ourselves, again, please come as much as possible, and I know there's down days out there, but as much as possible from a position of strength, and all, aren't you lucky to get me with all of this, that I bring? Because we do. Our skill sets are highly developed. Okay, we may have some technological issues here, and I'll be the first to confess, yes, I may not be the sharpest chip in the computer in that, but we have certainly skills that we have honed over a lifetime. We also have market knowledge, which is very important. We know who the competitors are. We know who the customers are. We know where the challenges lie in the specific markets. So we need to present that as, again, as a real plus from our experience. We also have an extensive network. We know clients, customers, coworkers. We also have our personal network. We belong to organizations. We have family. We have friends. People get people jobs. Use this network. For those of you who are in sales, you know the importance of bringing a book with you or having an extended network. But when you are on a job search, people get people jobs. Use this network. And also remember that people do tend to hang out with people our own age, like we tend to hang out with people in our career choice many times. So we, at our age, are far more likely to know someone who might be the vice president of human resources at the organization where we want to work. When we were 20, mommy and daddy might have known that person, but now we know that person. So please, remember that to use this wonderful aspect of being our age and use that network. Ability plus flexibility. I know that oftentimes younger people think we are inflexible, and I always say if you're set in your ways, you know those are good because you've been using them all these years and they've worked. So, but I do think that, again, at our age, many of us do not have young children at home that we're saving for college or, you know, whatever it is. So what we can do is do something as you're considering, maybe move into a consulting position or maybe start something part-time and, you know, and move into a full-time basis on that. We generally have a little bit more leeway, and I would definitely suggest if an organization that is in an industry or something that you're looking at offers you something part-time or something temporarily, I might definitely consider taking that, because once you're in that door, you're going to have that your foot in the door. You're going to become a known commodity to them, and you're nodding your head. Yes, I think it can be very beneficial. Also, they would save tons of time and effort and money looking for somebody because you're already there once that job opens up full-time. So I would suggest doing that. Then this one is a real one for me, the life and the people skills. These have been discounted for years and called soft skills. Hard skills are your technical skills kinds of things. But these have been discounted for years and called soft skills. However, it is your people skills that are actually going to get you that job when you are in the interview. Interviews are about two things. Well, resumes are about hard skills, so remember to load that resume up with hard skills. But when you're in that interview, it is about fit and attitude, basically, because, as you know, are you going to fit with that organization or that team, and do you have the right attitude? Will you represent the organization well in their estimation? All of those things. So make sure that when you are in that interview, you bring plenty of examples of how you've used your people skills to benefit the organization that, you know, you've worked for previously. I do want to get back to the hard skills one thing, too, because I forgot to mention this, but in the hard skills, one of the things that comes with age is problem solving. Every employer has problems, issues that need to be resolved. They are looking for the same thing, which is a problem solver. So come up with several examples, both on your resume, while you're networking, and in an interview of how you have solved problems, because you have, how you've resolved crises. You have done this many, many times in the past. We need to be proactive about talking about that, all the things that we have done, because that's going to make them interested in bringing us on board in their organization. A mature work ethic, that goes without saying pretty much, but I think it's also helpful to bring up that as well. Again, the responsibility you are, you know how to be a contributing team member, you know the importance of showing up on time and doing, you know, getting your jobs, your work in on time. All of those things, come up with examples of how you've done that. Again, mostly, not so much on your resumes. Resumes are a little bit focused a little bit differently, but in the interview process, you want to bring in some of these, again, those more people skills, the aspects of aging that can be a real benefit. Wrinkles equals wisdom. Actually, what I mean by that is I think when you are out there, you want to exude what I like to call a quiet confidence. You're not going to be a braggart. You're not going to do that. But again, you can say with confidence, sure, I can handle situations like that. I've done so many times in the past. For example, I had to juggle a number of incoming calls, or I've worked for multiple bosses at the same time, or whatever it is. Come up with those examples so that you can, again, present your abilities with confidence in that regard. Benefits of being... I know.
The generation in this room represents one of the last generations that's had a real education.
Yes. Oh,
we
thank you.
We know how to read and write.
We know how to spell four. It's not the number. It is F-O-U-R.
There are some brilliant kids coming up who do not know how to look a person in the eye when they talk to them.
Yes.
They don't know how to shake their hand. They don't know how to speak in a complete sentence. And, you know, and that's the product of our modern education and digital system. This is the electronic brain. This is our advantage. Because we can write in complete sentences, we can express ourselves, and people are going to start paying a premium for that because it won't be available otherwise.
Thank you, John. That is wonderful, wonderful advice and things to bring up. I appreciate that. And I forgot to mention. Actually, just because we have so little time, if you want to object to it later, can we do that afterwards, please? Just because you can certainly do that. Thank you. Okay, there are certain benefits, believe it or not, to being part of our generation. For one thing, I think we have been trailblazers our whole lives. We have already changed the face of the workforce, and my example is I grew up in San Leandro, right across the bay over there, and if I, in 1958, would have wanted to turn off the Mickey Mouse Club and turn on the evening news, I would never have wanted to do that, but should I have wanted to do that? And I'm talking about positions of authority, a newscaster. How many women newscasters would I have seen on the news in 1958? Zero. How many people of color would I have seen on the news? Zero. We have already changed the face of the workforce. We are not a generation that lies down and takes it. We need to be, again, come from that position of strength and pride, I think, as much as possible. Population bulge, and I always hold my stomach in when I talk about this one, but our population is 78 million of us. Now, the population right underneath us is a measly 45 million. So this new economy refers to the fact that before the economic downturn, they were scrambling to keep us in jobs because even with all the outsourcing and all of that, they felt, and they were doing studies in Northeastern University and things like that, they thought there might be 5 million more jobs than people to fill them. Again, it didn't turn out that way. But we, you know, we have pretty much ruled the world for a long time, and I'm not necessarily ready to give it up yet. So the graying workforce, every 7 seconds, one of us has a birthday, again, because we're so massive. So at this point, we're talking about, you know, there's still some that haven't turned 50 yet, but 50, 60, 65, and I think, 68 this year or something like that. But again, so the workforce is graying at a very rapid rate. 7 seconds, 10,000 a day of us gets another birthday. Another thing I think, and this is something that we need to proactively bring up, or you might choose to do it in some way. One of the stereotypes that younger employers might hold against us is, oh, they're going to retire soon. They're going to leave right away. They'll hang out for a little bit and then they're out of here. It's not true. It's the younger ones that are bouncing all over the place. Workers over 50 stay in jobs 3 times longer than younger employees. So we have a lot more loyalty to, you know, we grew up in a time when there was a certain amount of loyalty. So I think, again, if it feels comfortable for you, but, you know, come up with some examples of, you know, how you do believe in, loyalty. And should you get this opportunity, you're very much anticipating putting in a full, you know, time or whatever with them. So, I think there are certain benefits to us, to our generation. Now, unfortunately, I'm going to talk even super faster here, but we're going to move down to the more the individual, you the product, and I believe that the job search can be divided in 3 basic categories. The planning phase, where you assess the market and then determine your key selling points. The preparation phase, where then you come up with a product brochure, and I call it a catchy commercial, which is your elevator pitch, things like that. And then the execution phase, the product launch would be the fact that you're networking and making the sale would be interviewing. Now, I've talked about being a product here, and the reason is because you are out there selling yourself. This can be a very uncomfortable idea of being out there selling yourself, but the more you can put a little emotional distance on this whole aspect and think, you bring with you certain skills, and you want to sell your skills, not necessarily your experience. You want to sell your skills because employers have, again, issues they're resolving, problems that they're trying to get, you know, completed, projects off the ground. They need people with skills. So be sure you are selling your skills when you're doing that, and then framing them as a product, as a skills merchant or something to be sold out there can help you a lot of times put a little emotional distance on this whole aspect. Now, I'm going to go over each of these, and I'm unfortunately very quickly, but I do want to stress a little bit about the start of this whole thing, which is the assessing the market phase. Assessing the market phase, you need to do that before you can come up with your key selling points. Anybody who is in sales or in marketing realizes you have to understand what your customer is buying before you can give them, you know, present yourself as the answer to their dreams. So what you want to do is, as much as possible, have an idea of what the market is looking for in your line of work. What is the very easiest way to do that? Bingo, you got it. And I'm going to repeat that so everybody can hear. Look at the job postings. In my book, I have various ways to go about, you know, layers of how to go about, you know, doing company research and all that. We just don't have time today. But the job postings are the absolute easiest, most effective way of understanding what the market is buying. So look at those job postings, and you will see over and over and over again, there are going to be certain skills that are going to come up very frequently. If those are true for you, and they'd better be for the most part, make sure they are liberally presented on your resume, that while you are networking and in an interview, you have several examples come up that are specific to these skill sets and how you've used these skills to save time, money, to get projects off the ground, to do all these kinds of things, because that is what the market is buying. You know that now. So, using a lot of times job seekers, it's easier to stay home and, you know, look on the computer for hours a day. You don't want to do that. Job listings are not going to land you that job, responding to those. I mean, even with some of these websites I've given you, they still believe about 12 to 15% of jobs are gotten by way of responding to a job posting. Because there's two things you are guaranteeing yourself if you sit in front of the computer and respond to job postings all the time. That is a level of frustration and a maximum level of competition. If you like that job, 20,000 other people are likely to respond to that job as well. So, but use them as your research tools because they're primary research tools. Another thing, very quickly on this thing, the key selling points, once you've identified, again, what they are looking for, you need to present you the product as, again, the answer to their dreams, what they're looking to do. And you want to make sure that you are representing your skills, your key selling points, in three categories. Make sure that these are, again, that you follow or you include each of the three skills categories. The first is your knowledge-based skills. If you are into programming, these would be your programming skills and any classes or training that you have in that area. So make sure that these are your super hard skills, as they say. The second area would be the personal strengths. Now, as I'd mentioned, I've seen a lot of resumes that go responsible, on time, about these. You do not want to load that resume up with these kind of personal traits or these personal strengths because they are looking for hard skills on a resume. But some of these personal strengths, as I'd mentioned, while you're networking and in an interview, when you're speaking with someone, that's the time to really highlight those because not only do they show that you have a certain level of professionalism and all, but those are your added value, your distinguishing features that make you special and make you unique. So make sure that you represent those personal traits as part of your skill set. And the third area of skills that is important is ones that you'll see in resume books, and those are the broad-based transferable skills, the skills that transfer from one area to another, things like prioritizing, organizing, those kinds of skills. So make sure that those are on there as well. Okay, we're going to move on here and get into the product brochure or the resume. As I mentioned, I go in depth in it in the book, and unfortunately, because we don't have too much time, and I know it's important, but I do want to go through a little bit about this. I think the best format for the mature applicant is something that's called the combination resume, and that draws from both the chronological resume and the functional resume, because if you stick with the chronological resume, you put your key points according to where you worked most recently, working backwards, and that's where you put your bulleted statements, I'll call them, whether you put those selling points underneath that. But if you do that as a person who's been out there in the job world for a while, some of your strongest points might be back on page 2. And I do think as a mature job seeker, you definitely would probably be far better off with a 2-page resume. But you don't want to have those strong key selling points back on page 2 buried because they're not going to see them. You need to immediately attract their attention. So you have a special section right up at the top. I suggest doing a bit of a professional profile. Again, I can't explain it totally here. And some key skills, a skills grid. And then right underneath that, you want to have a section called career highlights, Something like that, where you draw from the body of your career, you draw these bulleted points, and you put those strongest ones up to the posting, to the position you're going for. So a resume, again, has to be very flexible. It also has to be very friendly on the eye. That 30-second test at the bottom of the slide there, that refers to people that are going through resumes, like everybody else, overworked and underpaid. So they are flipping through on their computer screen now, am I going to bother to read through this resume? You need to grab their attention immediately. They will spend 30 seconds or less. So keep it eye friendly. Use bullet points. Use plenty of white space. That's why I don't suggest you having a one-page resume, because everybody crams it on with little teeny tiny font. Use a good size font. But most important, I want you to think top left. When you are organizing your resume, think top left, because that's the way we scan. Left to right, top down. So as you are organizing your points under, your job headings, your strongest bullets need to go to the top. As you are doing a skills grid or any kind of example statement, put the strongest points to the left and to the top. So keep it friendly on the eye, as I said. Emphasize the latest and greatest. This is another way you can use the job postings to your advantage. Many times we have the skills, but they've just switched and put a new name on them now. Make sure that you are, again, that resume is filled with what they are looking for now, and that you are using current terminology. That's all very important to do. Make it memorable. This is a hint that I think it can be very helpful. When you write the bulleted statements on your resume, I want you to go through each one, and I want you to ask yourself one question. And this question is, so what? The reason I suggest doing that is because you want to emphasize the positive result that you have achieved. They are going to buy you the product on the results that you achieved before. Did you save time? Did you save money? Did you make something more effective? Did you, turn around a disgruntled customer and save the sale? Any of these kinds of things, ask yourself, so what, and stress those achievements. You need to make it memorable, and, again, I have seen so many resumes, manage four people. So what? Manage four people is a job description. You need to be more proactive and show what you've achieved. So think in those terms too. If you do not customize resumes today, they will not even be seen. If you are submitting a resume online, they have something called applicant tracking systems now. And it pulls up resumes by the skills that they're looking for in the ad. If you don't pepper those all over your resumes, they won't even be seen. So you have to spend, I would suggest, sending out one resume a day, or one resume a week, is more effective than sending 500 a day that are not customized, because they won't even see them. You're just totally wasting your time. So you have to customize. Design your future. I'm sorry. If you see a posting or you find out about a job, make sure that you focus that resume in direct response to what they're looking for. Yeah, a combination resume. I'm sorry, I have like 5 minutes left. I have a lot to get through. So, design your future. Many times we think of resumes as historical documents, but what you really want to do is flip that in your thinking and say, well, the title of my book is Land the Job You Love. At our age, we deserve to find work that is where we can not only contribute, but we find fulfilling. We don't necessarily want to just have an income anymore. Sometimes we have to, but the more fulfilled you can feel, the better it's going to be all the way around. So load that resume up not only with skills that they're looking for in the marketplace, but in skills that career counselors call these motivated skills. Skills that make you go, yeah, I nailed that, or yeah, that made me feel great, or those aha moments. So make sure that resume is focusing at the future where you want to go, because it is your product brochure and you're going to be hired to do that. 30-second test. Remember I said that they spend about 30 seconds deciding whether to read your resume. Hand your resume out to other people, your friends. Ask them to take a look at it, and inside go 1,001, 1,002. Count to 30 and then say, will you give me my resume back? And then ask them, what did you see on my resume? And that way is a real world test of how effectively that information is bouncing off the page to them. I'm sorry, I'll take questions later if we can, because I hate to be this way, but time I know is of the essence. Catchy commercial, this I know you probably have heard about the elevator speech. You do have to have a speech ready that in about 30 seconds or less tells a little bit about not only what you do, your level of experience, some key skills that they're going to be looking, you know, that they're wanting, and you know, in a very short amount of time. What I suggest doing is probably writing it out to begin with, but if you memorize it like this, you will sound like a robot, and that's not so great either. So turn that into bullet points in your head and say, did I get my level of experience out there? Did I give the, you know, the function that I provide? Did I give some key skills that are going to be appropriate to the audience? And that way you can adjust it a lot more too. 10-second opener, I'm going to be very quick on this, but many times you'll be at very informal settings and people, you might meet someone and they'll say, oh, tell me what you do. Well, you don't want to hear, I've been a career counselor for 20 plus years and you don't want to. So think of something that might be a little bit off the wall that's going to grab their attention and they'll ask you more and then you can get into your more formal speech. But somebody that I worked with, she said she was a buyer and she said, I shop with other people's money, which I thought was good. And I might say, I teach people on the feisty side of 50 how to land the job they love, or that's not as clever. But my all-time favorite one was from somebody in one of my workshops. He was an engineer with a sense of humor. He'd worked on the Sirius satellite, the development of that, and he said, I work with the lunatic fringe of show business, which I thought was a really good one. So come up with something that suits your personality. Networking, people get people jobs. 75% of jobs are gotten through informal referral through people. However, the older you are and the tighter the job market, that number goes up exponentially. So just make sure that you are really using that network. You are proactive in, you come up with a list of companies where you want to work and you start working first off your immediate network saying, I'm looking for jobs in these particular organizations. Do you know anyone who might work there, who might, I might be able to speak with? Something like that so that you actually being proactive and networking your way through the door to places where you want to work. Again, boomers have it best because our network is at a level where they can really help us out. Okay, we came to the interview, and this is, of course, we could do several workshops just on this particular aspect, but I do want to say something a little bit about, of course, you have to prepare. You know that. You need to, you know, make sure that you at least check out the company website and more so that you want to think in an interview, you want to present yourself not only with confidence, energy, and enthusiasm, but as a knowledgeable insider. The more you can think in the words knowledgeable insider so that you can mention things like, oh, I understand that you're moving, your company's moving into Eastern Europe. Tell me a little bit about that, those kinds of things. So make sure you prepare. And also, you've got to do the company. If you can find out about the position or department, that's helpful. But if you're interviewing with the hiring manager, you want to know what that customer, customer buying you the product, what his or her real needs are. And one of the ways you can do that is actually to ask them. Because an interview is going to start out with a general question. Tell me a little bit about yourself or what brings you here today. And what you want to do is, as early in that interview as possible, turn it into a conversation. That way, you're going to have an equal footing. They have needs. You have skills. You can match it that way. And one of the best ways to do that is to say something like, well, now that I've told you a little bit about my background, can you, and you won't say as the hiring manager, but can you tell me what you see to be the most critical aspects of the job? Can you tell me what needs to be done immediately? Can you tell me some of the longer-range goals for the position? Can you tell me how the new person might make your life easier? Get in, make it interactive, ask the questions, and then finally, you want to speak to your strengths, obviously, and you want to pre-prepare these examples as much as possible. You know what they're looking for. It's in the job posting, so you need not only customize your resume, but you want to customize the way you prepare for that interview and validate with examples. My favorite example of validating with examples is this. Do you work well under pressure? Yeah.
They're not going to buy it unless you have examples. And, of course, and I've got this information. I know we're running out of time here. But one last point here. One of the age-related questions that is very difficult for people is the where do you see yourself in 5 years kind of thing. I always say no jokes about laying on the beach with a drink with colorful umbrellas in it. That's. But what you want to do is think politician. You know how they answer the question but not really answer the question. So positive and vague. And this is one of the things that you'll say something like, my suggestion is say something like, I like what I do and I think I'm good at it, but I'm sure you'll afford me a number of opportunities to grow my skill set, to learn new things. This is a grow with the position, grow with the company kind of thing. So I know we are out of time. It's been a wonderful experience to speak with you. Thank you so much. And those of you who have questions, I'll be outside afterwards. Thank you again.
Thank you so much, Eileen. We'd like to remind our listening audience this is a program with the Commonwealth Club of California, and you're listening to Mary Eileen Williams speak on her book, Surefire Strategies for Job Seekers Over 50. And for those who didn't get every word down that she said, the book is available afterwards. And now this meeting of the Commonwealth Club of California commemorating its 110th year of enlightened discussion is adjourned. Thank you.